Let's continue with the programme. Around this time every week, we join Liam Horan from Slieneagh Careers for our Career Corner, and this evening is no different. Good evening to you, Liam.
Good evening, Benin. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Liam. We'll get into it fairly quick because we're cutting down. We're tight on time, ran over a little bit on the sport there. We're going to look at a couple of things I know on the programme today. First question, I couldn't make the job interviews on the day that they were convened. The company have kindly agreed to meet me on another date next week. However, instead of meeting the interview panel of three people, I will meet just one of them. And from what I gather, he's the least important of the three. Should I bother going, or is this just a token effort? This comes in from DR on email.
Well, I'd say DR has nothing to lose. Getting a job requires lots of different balls in the air. You've got to keep trying, and sometimes a company will do things like that where they get to meet somebody to suss them out in a different way. Perhaps they might not have something immediately for that person, but they may have something down the line. And in fact, I've come across cases where out of the second meeting, as outlined by DR, candidates got referred to a job at a different company, in fact. So often people who run companies are looking around to see who's out there, and you know, people may not exactly fit the thing they're giving out, the job they're giving out right now, but they're still sussing around. So I would certainly go if I were DR. And what I would say is, wind up now as a kind of a casual, informal sort of a meeting. Still is, you know, sort of full careering. I would certainly perhaps make it if it is an interview. Yeah, you're a job seeker and you're meeting employers in this kind of a scenario. No matter how formal or informal it may be, you are being assessed. And long after they remember the nature of the meeting, whether it was formal or informal, they'll remember that you turned up in a tracksuit, for example. So don't fall into the trap of believing that it's just a bit of a chat and any old way will do, you know.
And I suppose there's two things to keep in mind with that particular email and that question. Is the first one is that it was DR who couldn't make the job interview on the day. So and the second thing to take out of that, or the big positive out of it, is that they have agreed to a meeting outside of the normal interview day, an interview panel.
Absolutely, and I probably should have emphasised that more in the first part of my answer as well. It may well be, you know, that they are very serious about it still, you know, that somebody is sent out on a fact-finding mission. He or she thinks is the least important person, but how do you know for sure who's important in an organisation? And they may well be sent out to go and suss out DR and see should we bring them to the second interview as well. So, you know, it still is, I would treat it as a very, very serious engagement. The companies tend not to waste time. They tend not to bother meeting people that they don't have a reason to meet. People are very, very busy. Time management is the biggest issue of all for most people involved in running companies. So, you know, they're unlikely to go through this process just for the fun of it. So, and they don't have any need or obligation to meet DR because they offered them an interview, they didn't turn up or couldn't make it, and, you know, thereafter they're not obliged to do anything else. And the fact that they are reaching out in this way, I would say the game is still on, and even if it's not this particular game, it could be a different game, you know, maybe something else you might slot into. So I would say put on the glad rags and go for it as if it was the big day itself.
Yeah, Liam, I hear you give advice often on people, you know, how they should deal with an interview panel, because it's usually a panel of people, usually three people for interviews, and, you know, you have great tips there on how to deal with that situation when you're in it. This is different, though. This is with one person. Is there maybe an opportunity to build a little bit of rapport and empathy before the interview?
Absolutely, and rapport is very important. The interview panel, or the person you meet, needs to like you. They need to feel like you're somebody they'll be glad to see turning up on the Monday morning. So there is a chance, it's a slightly different setting, there is a chance to chit-chat a bit more without being too anecdotal or too low-key, but you certainly could do. Let's say it was next Monday morning, the meeting was on, it was in Castlebar. There'd be nothing at all wrong with saying to them, you know, were you in Croke Park yesterday, for example, particularly if you're meeting, as I said, in a slightly less formal than a fully convened interview panel. There is a chance to show a bit more of your personality. The danger, of course, always is, though, that you get lulled into a false sense of comfort or unprofessional kind of conduct. You know, you need to keep it very real. So, keep it as professional as you can, but you can absolutely build rapport, show more of your personality, show more of an interest in the individual rather than trying to show an interest in three or four individuals in the panel. So, you know, there is a great chance there.
Okay, now queries that have come up in the past, people, you know, we talk about them and I hear you on about them in a regular scenario that your own company encounters is a person who leaping, as you say, straight from the frying pan into the fire. The desire to change careers, very powerful one, faraway hills, tendency to be greener than maybe they are. And people sometimes, you know, not very happy in their jobs, and in particular coming into the back end of the year, they start to think about maybe I'll get out and go into another career or a different company at least. But is this something that sometimes people jump into too easily maybe?
Yes, it's a very real situation where people get very frustrated in the workplace for a variety of reasons. Maybe the role doesn't suit them, the actual sector doesn't suit them. A common one is they don't like their boss. They don't like the work environment, they don't like the commute, they don't like their work colleagues. Lots of reasons called, they mightn't like the overall approach of the organisation. They might find it is too pushy with customers or too lax with customers. Lots of reasons called get frustrated. What I would say to people is, from there to your next job, you've got to take your time. You've got to first of all ascertain, what about your current job do you actually not like? Because there is a tendency to throw the baby out of the bathwater, that just because I don't like this job, you can fool yourself into thinking that every single thing about this job is wrong. Whereas in fact there might be one kernel of an issue or two things that might be bothering you. So you need to spend time really assessing it and getting maybe friends or, you know, others to help you who can assess the situation with you and take some of the emotion out of the situation, take some of the frustration out of the situation, and see what is left in this job that I actually do like. Because what people often do is they, in a rush, as you said, out of one job, they go to the next available job, and then they discover 3 months later that has a whole abundance of problems as well. And really, that's your fault. It's not that the job you went to is wrong. The job you went to was wrong for you, and you didn't take your time to suss it out and see did it suit you. What about the new company should you have foreseen? Did you talk to people who are working there? Did you talk to people who are working in similar companies? If people are listening who might be advising friends in this situation, what you should be saying to them is, look, just take your time and see exactly what's what here. What survives after you make the move? What will not be changed by the move? And what really do you want to change? And sometimes you've got to say to people as well, you know, you've got to realistic expectations as well. And that can be based on your location, your current position within a company in terms of promotion opportunities, you know, I find when people get frustrated about career, it's very easy to become a runaway train, and next thing a change is made before you know it, and that can be the worst thing. So I suppose my advice on that one this evening would be, take your time, talk to people, slow it down, take the job you have and write down 10 or 15 headlines about that job and say, which of these 15 are the real problems for me,
yeah,
and try and fix that next time out, rather than frying pan to the fire, as we said.
Would it be a good idea even to talk to your own line manager and just say, you know, I have a few things niggling me about the job. I love the job, but I like the job, or you don't even have to say that if you don't, but, you know, there's just a few things I'd like to kind of discuss about the job. And anyway, that can come up, can't it, if you're having assessments and that type of thing?
It can, and, you know, sometimes people kind of drop a bombshell on their bosses and say, I'm going. And it might be the first time the line manager or the boss realizes the problem at all. And I have seen cases where people, when they're exhibiting frustration, confided in their line managers. And sometimes, though not all the time, I hasten to add, the line manager would go and try and do something different. You know, say, well, look, if we change this to here, or there's something else coming up somewhere else that might suit you. Because line managers, by and large, don't want to lose people either. It tends not to be a great sign of a line manager of people if there's a high turnover rate in their area. So if you feel something can be rescued, I think it's a very mature approach to take. It's sometimes easy to drop the bomb. It's more difficult to negotiate and to chat it through and see what can be salvaged or what can be rearranged. So if people feel their line manager would be up for that. And, you know, you can frame that discussion as, look, this is not just a normal chit-chat about something that happened yesterday. This is actually a deeper level here. This is something more fundamental to me and my career satisfaction. You know, you might just find the line manager or the boss is quite receptive to what you're saying, and that could be the start of a whole new journey for you, you know. And I said, most of all, you know, you've got to claim that right to frame a career that suits you, not to, you know, believe that everything has to be awful, or that everything has to be really unenjoyable, or everything has to be drudgery. There are ways of reshaping either within your company or somewhere else, and you've got to work towards that, but not to rush. Don't, because faraway hills tend not to be green. They tend to be far away.
they're green when from here, but when you get there, they're not
exactly
so green. All right, Liam. Well, listen, we're going to have to leave it at that. If people want to contact you, of course, the website there is slinuacareers.com. That's spelled SLINUA careers. com, and you can also contact the office there at 094 95 42965, or contact us here at the radio anytime. We'll give you that information. And I know you do a careers resource pack, Liam, if people email you.
Yeah, if they email getthatjob@sleenewagcareers.com, we send them back a resource pack by return of email automatically. So
very useful.
Fill out one quick form. There's a lot of stuff there they can use. If they send us a query about anything they're wondering about career-wise, we'll be happy to send on some information.
Okay, so the email there is getthatjob@sleenewagcareers.com. Liam Horden from Sleenewag Careers, thank you very much for joining us. You're